Good evening, it is 5pm and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. A Kingston area minerals mine is putting southeastern Ontario on the map in the fight against climate change. Canadian wollastonite, located in Seelies Bay, has signed a 3-year agreement with UK-based company Undue Carbon to supply nearly 500,000 tons of rock for one of the largest carbon removal projects in the world. I spoke with Canadian wollastonite president Bob Vassily about the science, the scale, and what this means for Kingston and beyond. Wollastonite is a mineral not many people have heard of. But according to Vassily, it could play a huge role in tackling carbon emissions, while also helping Ontario's farmers.
We supply wollastonite, which is a primary mineral, and most people don't know what it is, but it's a calcium silicate. We supply it into a number of industrial applications, into steel manufacturing, into some green cements. We've been working a lot as a soil amendment, but recently we've done a fair bit of research, which is very compelling now, as a soil amendment for farms, which has the main benefit of capturing atmospheric carbon and bringing it down and locking it away. But it also has agronomical value to the farmer. So it encourages farmers to participate in this carbon removal cycle, which is important to everybody.
The cycle is an accelerated version of what the Earth has already done for billions of years, enhanced rock weathering.
So the process of enhanced rock weathering, the natural process, is the rain falls through the atmosphere. It naturally picks up carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and it falls to the ground as this very weak acid, carbonic acid. That's happened for millennia, and there's always carbon dioxide being produced. The acid, that rainwater mixes with silicate minerals. It reacts with those minerals, and it creates bicarbonates, which are permanently stored, like geologically stored CO2. So it doesn't re-release them at that point. They become things like limestones and carbonate minerals in the soil that stay permanently, or bicarbonates that work their way down through the water system. The water system eventually is part of a big global cycle. It makes its way out to the ocean. And, you know, these bicarbonates settle on the ocean floor and stay there forever. In geologic time frames, tens and hundreds of thousands of years. So it is a very natural process. If we can speed it up through the use of farms and farmers, the process is a natural process. The Earth has been doing this for billions of years. It's always taking place. And so the process of rain picking up carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, reacting with silicate rocks, and those silicate rocks permanently locking that carbon away, is how the Earth has regulated itself since it cooled, originally cooled. The process here, we're accelerating it. It's called enhanced rock weathering because we're crushing those silicate rocks down to a fairly small particle size, and that increases the reactive surface area. And then we're putting it into field conditions, which again, really promote the breakdown and the weathering of these materials. So instead of a process that takes thousands of years, we're quite literally accelerating it to taking 1, 2, and 3 years for this weathering process. It's relatively new in that the real emphasis of how important the need is to capture carbon that's already in the atmosphere and bring it back out really has developed. There's all kinds of technical solutions for it. This really started to take off. We started working in 2015 on it with the University of Guelph. It really, really started for us to take off in 2020 with a number of publications with some of our other industrial, like university partners, Yale University being maybe one of the biggest ones. And it's catching on because it's a real practical, simple solution. It involves farmers. It involves large swaths of land. It's sustainable in that it's helping the crops also weather, survive biotic, abiotic stresses a lot better, which is what, climate change is doing to farms. So the crops are managing the stress better because of the silicon that's releasing. It's employing farmers and farmland, which otherwise wouldn't be involved. And it's also reducing the amount of other inputs, like chemical inputs and things like that, into these farmlands. So it's just a natural win. It's far less costly than technical solutions. So there are some other large projects, billion-dollar projects to capture carbon that removes CO2 directly from the air and pumps it into, concentrates it and pumps it into rock formations deep under the earth. There's some ocean methods, but this is by far the simplest, most cost-effective, with the greatest all-around good for society and for the planet.
Canadian wollastonite has been working with universities since 2015 to study the process, but in recent years, it's caught the attention of international partners. Vasily explains how Undo Carbon got involved and how this new project will be scaling up their carbon removal operations.
We first started working with Undo in early 2023, and they had reached out to us with some, and we had reached out to them on some publications and some work we were doing with University of Guelph and Yale University and so on carbon removal. They were very interested. They were working with the mineral called basalt mainly, which is very prevalent. We demonstrated that the wollastonite actually, it's almost an order of magnitude 10 times faster in its weathering and its reactivity. And since they were trying to develop some geochemical models to prove and to demonstrate the actual carbon sequestration that's occurring, that was very attractive to them. So we started off with a pilot project of about, I think, 5,000 tons of material. It went really well. They put it into some farm field applications as well as some trial plots. They were getting strong signals. They were getting good signals in terms of weathering and rates, which they weren't getting, in they were it were taking years to get in other minerals. So they wanted to scale that up. We agreed. So we scaled it up in 2024, and we spread a total of, I think, 35,000 tons of material on farm fields. That was a real success, both with them and their science team, but also with a number of companies that were sponsoring them to help develop the science, the enhanced rock weathering science. This contract is a real, fairly significant extension. This contract is for 450,000 tons over a 3-year period. So it's, as you can sort of see, 5, 35, 450. It's scaling, and it's really important because this is going to demonstrate for them and also for the world, because this would be, we believe this is the second largest demonstration of its kind for permanent carbon capture in the world. And it happens to be happening here in Kingston and in Eastern Ontario. But this is going to demonstrate the scalability of the science. And once this is completed, one of Undo's plans is then to start incorporating other mineral sources, other rock types like basalts and olivines and so on, into their models, and then going around and essentially get operations like us involved with carbon removal on a global scale in every country in the world. So they pitched that in a competition, an XPRIZE competition, which was a global $100 million prize competition, and they came in fourth in the world out of, and I think, if I recall, the original was 3,200 teams, universities, companies from around the world. So this humble project in Eastern Ontario is now getting some world recognition, and this particular offtake is really important. I think it's going to really set the pace for large scale carbon removal going forward.
For farmers, wollastonite is provided free of charge and the mineral improves soil quality. This project will allow the program to add an additional 2,000 farms to the program.
We're providing the wollastonite at no cost to the farmer. That's being subsidized through the program and through the main purchasers who are trying to advance the science. So that's Microsoft and Google and Stripe and some of these other, very large companies. The farmer's receiving the wollastonite at no cost. They're spreading, we're covering the cost of spreading or physically spreading it for them. And there's all kinds of agronomical benefits that the wollastonite's bringing to the crops that they're seeing right away. The farmers just simply continue their farming operations as they normally would. So normally farmers would bring in lime and put lime on fields in order to manage the pH so that they, for their crops and for their fertilizers. By using wollastonite, first of all, putting lime on farmlands, particularly in our area, gives off CO2. So that removes their emissions, and now they're capturing, more than 50 weight percent of CO2 through this process. So it's really surprisingly simple. It's allowing them to decrease their inputs, so they don't have to, for instance, buy lime, and so there's cost to the lime and cost to spreading. So it's directly saving the farmer, which is symbiotic because without the farmer's land, we wouldn't be able to do this. So it has to be a win-win for both the farmer and the large corporations that are sponsoring this. And so that's essentially the model and how we see it rolling forward going into the future.
The city of Kingston was the first municipality to step in, subsidizing hauling costs for farmers. And Vasily says it's already sparking interest in other municipalities.
So Kingston is subsidizing haulage rates for farmers because that's the only cost to the farmer. So they're helping the farmer integrate wollastonite into their operations. It's the first program of its type that we think of in Canada, like a municipal contribution to, carbon removal at this scale, like a private carbon removal. It's significant because it's drawing adoption, a lot of adoption from the Kingston farmers. But what it's really doing is it started the conversations now with other municipalities. So we actually have, Ottawa Region coming down to talk about the exact same program. We have Association of Municipalities in Eastern Ontario starting to talk about this as a way for them to promote and meet their own sort of carbon objectives, carbon removal or carbon sequestration targets.
Vasily shared some of the key objectives over the next 3 years.
So certainly achieving the objectives of spreading 450,000 tons, a farandu demonstrating the measured objectives of capturing, plus 200,000 tons of atmospheric carbon permanently. And so if I can give you an equivalent of that, if you were to think of trees, like planting trees, which is people think of that in terms of carbon removal. That's the equivalent of us planting 6 million trees in the next 3 years. So it's a huge amount. The big difference, and I don't like to use trees too often, because the tree will capture carbon for the life of the tree. And then when it dies, the carbon is re-released. So this would be like planting 6 million trees of carbon capture, but the tree never dies. It lives forever. And so this is essentially what's taking place with the type of carbon capture that the farmers are participating in.
The global scientific community is also taking notice. Last spring, Undo was named one of four global winners of the $100 million XPRIZE carbon removal competition for its work in Eastern Ontario. Vasily says this project could become a blueprint worldwide.
After this trial, or basically this project, I think Undo will have the data they need to be able to model other mineral sources, which otherwise, like it might take them 10 years normally. They'll get those geochemical models to complete it in the next 2 to 3. And then they'll be able to accurately measure carbon removal through silicate or enhanced rock weathering. And I know their goal is to then, find thousands of companies like mine, and get them involved so that it becomes a truly scalable global solution.
Once again, that was Canadian wollastonite president Bob Vasily speaking about a landmark carbon removal initiative incoming for southeastern Ontario. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Christina Laurie.
This is Henry Walker from CFRC's Campus Beat, bringing you Queen's Campus News. This past weekend, Duncan MacArthur Hall was closed to the public in relation to the ongoing renovations taking place in the building. This, along with some other aspects of the renovations that have disrupted parking and certain entrance closures, has caused some logistical disruptions around the campus building, which is home to the Queen's School of English, Faculty of Education, 672-seat auditorium, and the Education Library. The renovation project was originally set to be completed September of this year, but as of yet seems to still be ongoing. On Monday, September 8th, Duncan MacArthur Hall was evacuated and closed for the rest of the day due to a strong, noxious odor related, as stated in an email sent through the QU alert system, to building renovations. Due to this, all in-person classes and events were canceled, and the building remained closed until September 9th. Classes have continued in Duncan MacArthur Hall and will continue during construction for the foreseeable future. Queen's University is a member of the Ontario Undergraduate Student Alliance, or OUSA, a nonpartisan organization that represents undergraduate students from several Ontario universities. As part of that membership, Queen's regularly sends student delegations to OUSA's General Assembly, where participants review and vote on policy related to post-secondary issues such as tuition, housing, and financial aid. The Fall General Assembly will take place from October 23rd to 26th at Laurentian University in Sudbury. Applications are now open for Queen's students interested in joining the AMS delegation, with travel, accommodations, and meals covered. The deadline to apply is September 22nd and can be done through the AMS Commission of External Affairs' Instagram. The Alma Mater Society opened its first assembly of the academic year with a focus on the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. Held on September 16th in Wallace Hall at the John Deutsch University Center, the assembly featured a series of learning activities and guest speakers centered on Indigenous education, reflection, and community engagement. This event included smudging with the Four Directions Student Center, a Heart Garden Project, tobacco tie kits, and orange shirt sales. Speakers from the Queen's Native Student Association, QNSA, addressed the importance of equity and support for Indigenous students on campus. In addition to NDTR programming, the assembly proceeded with regular business, including the ratification of committee appointments and the review of the Student Commission's budget for the upcoming year. The NDTR assembly was live-streamed for those unavailable to attend, and related materials, including the full assembly package and appendix, remain available online through AMS channels. The next AMS assembly is scheduled for September 29th. Once again, this has been Henry Walker with your Queen's Campus News on CFRC 101.9.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, September 22nd, daytime high of 22 degrees, but it is going to be rainy throughout the city of Kingston, an 80% chance of precipitation. That remains steady into Tuesday, September 23rd, another day with a high temperature in the low 20s and a high likelihood of rain, around 75%. Moving into Wednesday, lower likelihood of rain, but harder rain is going to fall. We've got a daytime high of 22 degrees, and we could see some pretty intense rain falling in the afternoon especially. Thursday, September 25th, more of the same in terms of weather forecasts. High likelihood of rain, 20 degrees is your daytime high. Friday, September 26th, we are going to see more rain in the forecast with a daytime high of 22 degrees. And then Saturday, September 27th, the Queen's football game may be marred by a little bit of precipitation, but it could be finished by the time the game kicks off at 3 p.m., so we shall see. And then rounding into the end of this week, Sunday, September 28th, going to be a beautiful, sunshiny day here in the city of Kingston with a high of 21 degrees. This is Jesse Bell with your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We begin with road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess 2 Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Johnson Street at Victoria is closed until October 24th for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. King Street, Queen to Frontenac parking lot entrance is closed beginning September 24th to accommodate construction-related activity. Kings Court Avenue, concession to First, is closed until October 10th for a gas main installation. Lincoln Drive at Bay Ridge is closed until October 10th for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Macaulay Street, Daly to Rideau Heights Community Center, is closed September 24th from 2:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the Impact Church Back to School Bash. Ontario Street, Brock to Clarence, is closed September 25th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. for the ACFME Franco-Ontarian Day event. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, is closed until October 24th for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Cattle Rockway Woods Drive, Centennial to Gardner's, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. John Marks Avenue at Innovation Drive, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Avenue, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Avenue. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper, expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. Trudell Road, development to Danbury, expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. And Victoria Street and Earl, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes the site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
This is Christina Lori coming back at you with a few events coming up this week. There is no shortage in trivia tonight, with trivia happening at One Eye Jacks from 7 to 10 p.m., Something in the Water from 7 to 9:30 p.m., and The Brass from 7:45 to 10 p.m. All of the events have no cover, just come out and have some fun. Timeout Bar and Bistro also has a lovely bingo night beginning at 7 p.m. and free to play. Tomorrow on Tuesday, September 23rd, swing by Trellis HIV and Community Care for Indigenous Drumming from 1 to 3 p.m. The event is free and all are welcome to attend. Also tomorrow in Springer Market Square, the Kingston Public Market will be running, featuring vendors selling fresh local produce, cut flowers, plants, baked goods, preserves, local crafts, and much more. Vendors will be on site from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Wednesday, September 24th, every Wednesday at the Mansion is karaoke. With no cover, grab your friends and head over at 9 p.m. with a song in mind. Walk Right Back, the Everly Brothers story hits the Kingston Grand Theatre this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Tickets can be purchased on the Kingston Grand Theatre website. That wraps up your events for this evening, and be sure to tune in on Wednesday for your events for the rest of the week. Have an event you'd like to add to our online and on-air calendar? Reach out via CFRC.ca or CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Next up is Dinah with a few concerts coming up this week.
Thank you so much. Coming up now is the CFRC Concerts Calendar. On Monday, September 22nd, check out the Dave Barton Trio at RCHA's Jazz Society Mondays event for $5 from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Julia Finnegan also takes the stage during her Monday musical residency at the Cove Inn by donation starting at 5. The Morning Doves are also playing a free show at Musiki from 8 p.m. tonight. On Tuesday, September 23rd, enjoy Folk and Fiddle with Eric and Megan at the Cove Inn by donation starting at 5 p.m. Also on Tuesday, enjoy Muse Mini Desk 2025 at the Mansion, showcasing Queen's student artists starting at 8 p.m. Tickets are $13 at the door. Musiki will also run its free open mic starting at 8 p.m. and the Toucan is hosting its Tuesday's Unplugged event featuring traditional Irish music for free starting at 7. On Wednesday, September 24th, check out Wings and Tunes at the Cove Inn at 5 p.m. or Christopher Jackson at the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6. You can also take the ferry to Wolf Island and enjoy open mic night for free at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 7:30. Kingston Grand Theater also presents Walk Right Back, the Everly Brothers story starting at 7 p.m. Tickets are $69. Also on Wednesday, you can enjoy free Wednesday Night Vibes karaoke at the Mansion starting at 9 p.m., free music by Frank Ryan at Musiki starting at 8, and a free set by Johnny Kerwin at Time Out Bar and Bistro starting at 6. There's even an open mic led by Logan Brown at Tiernanog starting at 9. Want your concert or event listed on CFRC's website, social media, and our on-air news programming? Visit CFRC's contact page and send us the details.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.